Tom felt tears at his eyes again. Months. There is no cure in its advanced stages? Queried Grossman. No, said Dalich. There is none. As the afternoon wore on, the other doctors were questioned. With each new testimony, the words became a litany of loss that Catherine's husband was forced to hear. She is beyond a doubt in the terminal stages of the disease, testified Dr. Weiner. She has but a short time to live, concurred Loeffler. There is absolutely no hope. No hope. No cure. No Catherine. Tom listened to it all, with tears streaming down his cheeks. He endured it all. By the end of the afternoon, he was near collapse and had to be led from the courtroom. The company lawyer, for his part, made no showy gestures. He limited his cross-examinations of the doctors to what Radium Dial considered the critical issue. Was radium a poison? It seemed irrelevant to Madgett that Loeffler declared, there is a definite causal relationship between her employment and the condition in which I found her. Madgett instead declaimed that radioactive substances may be abrasive, but not poisonous. The company's position, the slick attorney explained, is that the women cannot recover compensation under the new section of the law because that relates only to diseases incurred from poisons as a result of occupation. With the firm determining radium was not a poison, they held themselves not liable. Madgett called radium poisoning a phrase that was merely a convenient method of describing the effect of radioactive substances upon the human body. It was a position he maintained, even when Loeffler said angrily, the radioactive compounds had a poisonous effect upon Catherine's system, and their effect was not merely what is ordinarily termed abrasive, but comes under the medical definition of poisons. It was not lost on Grossman that this was the same lawyer who only a few years before had maintained radium was a poison in the Innisfallen case. Grossman dubbed Madgett's attempt to twist the truth brilliant sophistry and attempted magic by a past master in the wizardry of language and poison. The women's lawyer added, for evidence in support of respondents' theory that radium is not a poison, the record is as silent as the Sphinx of Egypt. No testimony was presented to back up the company's claim. In contrast, the women had plenty to say. And with Catherine having recovered a little from her collapse, she was determined to continue giving evidence. Yet her physicians pronounced her too ill to leave her bed and said she was in a state of complete collapse that might prove immediately fatal to her were she forced to continue as a witness. But Catherine was adamant. At this point, Grossman suggested that the hearing be resumed tomorrow at her bedside. If she couldn't come to the courtroom, then Grossman would bring it to her. George Marvel, after considering the request, agreed. It fell to Grossman to inform the press. As he announced that a bedside hearing would be held the next day, he added a final comment that he knew would provoke the press into copious column inches. That is, he said darkly, as he surveyed the gathered media, in case she is alive. End of CD 11.